Eastern Townships community. Thanks so much for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Townships Daily News Bits, and I am your host, Taylor McClure. On today's episode, I chat with chairperson for the Eastern Township School Board, Michael Murray, and executive director for the Townshippers Association, Maggie Severs, about Quebec's new educational reform bill, Bill 23, an act to amend mainly the Education Act and to enact the act respecting the Institut National d'Excellence en Éducation, which was presented by the Minister of Education, Bernard Drainville, to Quebec's National Assembly in early May. Mr. Murray, thanks so much for joining CIDI again. I always appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Always a pleasure to have a local audience.
Yes. And today we're going to be chatting about Quebec's Education Ministry's new education reform bill, Bill 23. So Education Minister Bernard Drainville introduced Bill 23 to Quebec's National Assembly at the beginning of May, and it sparked some concern amongst the English-speaking community. So essentially, for those listeners that aren't aware, Bill 23 will essentially give the minister more powers over Quebec school service centers. So previously school boards, but these were abolished under Bill 40.
Except in the English sector.
Except in the English sector. Yes, that's what I was just about to add. Including the power to appoint directors and the power to reverse a school service center's decisions for its schools. So from your perspective, Mr. Murray, will Bill 23 be beneficial for our English schools here in the province?
Absolutely not, and I think not even for the French language school network. This is, I remind you, first of all, the same minister who, a week before introducing this bill, famously was reported as saying that he didn't want to be responsible for everything that happens in schools. Anyway, this bill is likely to be even greater a disaster than Bill 40 was in terms of expanding the power of the minister, which essentially means the power of faceless, nameless bureaucrats in Quebec City, over not only appointing the directors general, but you have to understand the true extent of this bill. The ministry or the minister will have the power to name directors general, to fire directors general. No mention of the fact that most directors general have a contract, usually a five-year term, severance pay if they are fired before or let go before that, and so forth. Nothing of that. He just has the arbitrary power to dismiss a director general, to appoint a director general, and it goes much further. His appointed director general will then have the direct power to appoint an assistant director general and even the principals of individual schools. Now, under the previous bill, at the very least, principals were appointed based on set of preferences that were given to the school boards or the school service centers by the school governing boards. And governing boards each year are asked to present to the school board, to the human resources department, a list of the criteria or the preferences that they have for the kind of principal that their school needs or that would be suited to the local culture. No more. It's absolutely the minister who appoints the director general, who appoints everybody else. And get this, the minister has the right to change the decision of the director general.
Yes, that was actually what I was going to get to.
But it goes further. Not only say to the director general, no, you can't do that. Here's what you must do. The minister will be able to insert into the process the decision that they prefer, that he prefers, and oblige that to be the decision taken by the school, the school governance body, the director general, all of the professional educators and administrators. And I mean, we have education's a complex thing. We have issues over special needs kids. We have issues over developing the right kind of skill set for preparing kids for their future. And now everything becomes arbitrary. And the professionals, the administrators, the teachers, the special aid technicians, and the psychological advisors have nothing to say about it. So it's an appallingly broad, sweeping empowerment and centralization. You'll recall when they passed Bill 40, the justification or the pretension was that this would decentralize everything to schools. Well, now this is the second shoe dropping. They successfully persuaded themselves that decentralizing to schools mean that they appoint everybody.
Yeah, basically centralizing it back to the government.
Everything now becomes top-down, centralized, and you can imagine. I mean, there's been no outcry from directors general because they know full well they better not oppose this bill on any grounds, even technical professional grounds, for fear of losing their job. And that's the way that the system will function going forward. What director general will imperil their employment and career by saying the slightest thing in opposition to the minister's decrees? Mm-hmm. And I have personal experience with ministerial decrees. Just a side issue, but I was chairman of the board of directors of Champlain Regional College for many years. And when I say many years, the normal term is 3 in that position. But I served 7 because the reappointments or new appointments simply piled up on the minister's desk, waiting signature, and the minister wasn't paying attention, so didn't do anything about them. So ministerial decrees to operate as many as 3,200 individual schools, appointing principals and making decisions or unmaking decisions, not only are likely not to be informed by professional opinion, but very likely will be delayed by the overwhelming quantity. So I think all in all, it's a complete disaster, to say nothing of the constitutional issues, which are the grounds on which we, the collective group of English school boards, have already announced that we will challenge this bill.
Bill 23, you have already announced this?
We haven't actually done anything because the bill actually hasn't passed, but
okay.
We have issued a declaration and we have sent a letter to the minister to say if it's passed in its present form, that is not radically modified to take away all of these infringements, then we will contest.
Like Bill 40, it has been expressed publicly by different community groups, like you're saying, that support the English-speaking community, that Bill 23 is just another attempt to take away the right of the English-speaking communities to govern their own institutions. Do you read this bill that way as well?
Yes, we're supposed to have constitutional guarantees as a minority language education system that we can manage and control our own schools, including who we hire. We'd like to have people who are competent in English, for example. And there's no guarantee that the minister will decide in that sense when appointing directors general or assistants or principals of schools. Simon Jolin Barrette has just given us a flagrant example when he appointed a buddy from Longueuil to be a judge up in the Quebec North Shore. You know, it's abuse of power, it's completely unconstitutional, and it's destructive of good education. I can't be more comprehensive in my critique of it than that.
And do you happen to see any positive sides to Bill 23?
Well, I've read it carefully, and no, fundamentally it's a power grab. But there's no justification anywhere for the power grab. There's nothing that suggests, nowhere is it evident that, for example, a minister or a minister and advisors sitting in Quebec City are competent to improve the quality of education, which is what we constantly work on doing. They're not educators, they're not psychologists, they're politicians. And they have their own areas of expertise, but I don't think most of them have any background or expertise in education. And certainly, given how complex education is and how many different professions and expertise that we have in a school board just to make sure that we're doing the right thing for all of our students, it's very unlikely that a minister will have anything like the range of expertise and the ability to guide education in any direction that's positive.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, if they can appoint directors, but they don't know our community like the school boards do. Like they, so they could appoint anyone, but they don't know if that individual is actually suited to even work at that school.
Well, exactly. And whereas we as local administrators or overseers, we agonize over whether a particular candidate who might have all kinds of good qualifications is a good fit for a particular school, where we have to take into consideration the local community, the traditions, the volunteers who come and contribute so much to our schools. Very little or any of that is sort of formal. It's all because we know the area, we know the community, we get direct feedback from parents, from school staff, and so forth. And so we try and find the right candidate among those who might be well qualified on paper, so that we don't have friction issues, we don't have misunderstandings, and that's a constant effort that we make to ensure that there's some kind of harmony in each school. And without that, things don't work very well.
Now, those are all the questions that I had for you, Ms. Murray, about Bill 23, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention that I may not have brought up in our conversation.
Well, I think, you know, comprehensively, the government is showing its stripes. They are, for example, ignoring the fact that there's a stay under the Bill 40 contest that we have been waiting for a judgment for now close to 2 years. And this bill, if adopted, again, I repeat, if adopted as presented, would totally ignore the fact that Bill 40 is under judicial review and may, in fact, be undone, or partly undone, as regards the English community. So there's no mention in the draft bill, for example, that the minority language English community education system is spared. Now, they did exclude two Aboriginal school boards under the Northern Quebec agreement with the Cree, but they're ignoring the Canadian Constitution. So it's aberrant from start to finish.
Well, thank you so much again for providing that information. There's a lot of people that don't even know about this bill, so thank you for chatting with me again. I really appreciate it.
Our lawyers have told us that we should really be angry about this. And when they say we, the English community, we should really be angry, outraged by this folly.
Maggie, I just wanted to start off by thanking you so much for coming down to CIDI and for taking the time to chat with us about Quebec's new education reform bill, Bill 23.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Maggie, Quebec's education minister, Bernard Rainville, presented Bill 23 at Quebec's National Assembly at the beginning of May, and it sparked some concern amongst the English-speaking community here in Quebec. From your perspective, Maggie, will this education reform be beneficial for our English language schools here in Quebec and Eastern Townships?
That is a broad question. And I think that ultimately the answer would be no, it won't be beneficial for the English language schools or for the community as a whole. And, you know, this comes from a place specific to education as well as a more broad outlook for the future of the English speaking community. Our educational institutions are our last English institutional right within Quebec. And taking away the community's right to appoint their own general director for their school boards is quite huge. This individual will be appointed by the minister. The minister will have the power to override decisions made by the board. And, you know, it's left to be seen, but leaving to chance that these directors will be chosen from within our community, that they will represent our community, and that they will take positions against the Minister of Education. It is a significant risk for our community.
Yes, that's what people have been mentioning. We don't know who these people are that he's going to appoint and if they understand the needs of the community here in the townships. And I read into the bill a little bit more myself, and in one section, it is specifically written, the minister is granted the power to annul a school service center's decision where the decision is not consistent with the targets, objectives, policy directions, and directives the minister has established, and to make the decision that, in the minister's opinion, ought to have been made in the first instance. So what I'm getting from when I read this is that one person now gets to decide what is best for all schools across the province. I'm curious as to how that will actually play out if the bill is implemented, how one person will be able to manage that. How do you see these new powers changing the way that English language schools could be governed if implemented?
I mean, there are a lot of ways that it will change the way that schools are governed. And, you know, part of it is targets, objectives, policy, direction, and directives that the minister has established. So, you know, there are 7 priorities that the Quebec government has identified, but these are also on they're reevaluated and they're reinstated on a regular basis. So once, if Bill 23 is put into place, then whatever priorities are identified in the future, we will also be subject to prioritizing. The reality of the English-speaking population is different than that of the French-speaking population, and this creates a large degree of separation between our ability to address those needs more directly through the educational system.
Yeah, and like you said, these priorities, like Michael Murray said, they might not necessarily be the priority of the English-speaking community, yet we're still going to have to live up to that priority.
Absolutely.
There's also this aspect of the bill, which I didn't get the chance to talk to Mr. Murray about, but the bill also enacts this new act called Respecting the Institut National d'Excellence en Éducation, and it's described as an institution with a mission to promote excellence in the educational services that are provided. This is for preschool, elementary, and secondary school. The new act defines the institution's functions, rules, organizations, and there needs to be a board of directors consisting of 9 individuals. But I'm honestly confused by what this means. Do teachers need to go back to school? I don't know if you're able to comment on this aspect of the bill. It's kind of hard to understand coming from an outside perspective.
I won't comment on it directly. I think that I, in this aspect, still need more information to feel comfortable providing an answer to that question or more information to the community about this. But what has been said is that, teachers will be provided professional development training, throughout their career, and also that they're looking to fast track the qualification of teachers to get more qualified teachers in the classroom. Whether that's an aspect of this particular clause or not, I know that is part of what Drainville has put on the table. And now there's the issue of these opportunities for professional development being very targeted and selected by the minister and this institute, and not being at the discretion of the school and the needs of the students in the school or the needs of the teachers or the region, the school board. So it really centralizes professional development opportunities. Looking at the implications of our new language legislation here in Quebec, Bill 96, and how could that influence this? Will these opportunities only be provided in French? Will this fast-track course to get teachers, qualified teachers in the classroom, will this opportunity be provided in English, or will it only be provided in French? And then what does this do for the English school board's abilities to put English-speaking teachers into the classroom? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of questions to be asked here, and how 23 will interact with 96.
And according to what I read, the minister under this new potential bill, one of his responsibilities, I guess, is to ensure educational success, monitor the students' educational path, and to foster resources based on the needs of students. Again, this is one individual having to do this for all schools across the province. Do you think that this will be a step in the right direction when it comes to a student's learning to have another individual involved in managing that development, I guess, educational development?
I think that the centralization of the education system here in Quebec is not a good thing. I think that needs from school to school, from community to community, region to region, so on and so forth, are unique. And it's the jobs of those schools and those school boards to look at their individual needs. So we lose some of that in this system. Now, if there was a minister and a general director who, their main priority was to support each individual district in an individualized way, we could maybe look at it a bit differently. But none of these things are guaranteed. And one of the thing about Bill 23 is that it does leave a lot of questions on the table. And without these reassurances, there's no way to look at this bill and determine that this is a positive move in the right direction to ensure the educational success, you know, and the longevity of the English-speaking community. There are some major disconnects there. And if we look at other bills that have been enacted and other moves of the CAC government, I think that it's clear that as members of the English-speaking community, our constitutional rights are at risk. Some of them have already been infringed upon by Bill 96. Bill 23 is doing the same thing. It's also going in the face of the stay that has been put on Bill 40. It more or less takes out some of the most oppressive aspects of Bill 40 and reinstates them under a new bill. Exactly. There's absolutely concern about the bill itself, its content itself, and the paths being taken by our current government to get around some of these legal processes, to, you know, push their agendas within the province, and it's worrisome.
Like Bill 40, which you just brought up, has been expressed publicly by different community groups that support the English-speaking community, that Bill 23 is just another attempt to take away the right of these communities to govern their own institutions. Does the Townshippers Association, who is one of these English-speaking community groups here that look out for the future of our population, do you read this bill that way as well?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, as I just said, it takes out certain elements of Bill 40 that are really major and puts them back on the table while Bill 40 is still at a stay right now going through the Supreme Court. So this is a major concern, and it's concerning the pathways that the government is taking to achieve, you know, this mandate that they seem to be really strongly trying to push. And so what are the motivations? Why is the English-speaking community being targeted in such a way?
Now, my last question, you kind of brought it up before that you don't see it as a positive thing, but I asked this of Mr. Murray as well, is that do you see any possible positive signs to Bill 23?
I do not. So to Bill 23, I do not. You know, I mean, you look at the educational priorities of the CAQ government right now, and some of those priorities would align with some of the priorities that we would have for our English schools. I mean, they're very basic. And when we look at even the needs of our community, well, when you look at the majority French community, we do have a lot of similar needs, and a lot of them are reflective of shortcomings in, you know, our public structures. And, you know, it's just the reality of, I think, a lot of parts of Quebec, a lot of provinces across the country, even internationally, that human needs are going to overlap. The real intricacies come down to how they are addressed and which ones are identified as being the priority for which community in any given region. There will always be differences in the needs of the majority and the minority communities, and the details of how these needs are addressed are really going to be specific to the communities that they're looking to serve. If we're not considering the individual approaches to addressing the needs of the communities, then we are really overlooking a major quality that is absolutely necessary in finding a sustainable solution to addressing these things.
Well, thank you so much, Maggie. Those are all the questions that I had for you about Bill 23. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention that I may not have brought up in my questions about the bill, or perhaps a word from the Townshippers Association as to what your hopes are moving forward for the English-speaking community.
Maybe one thing that I'll say is, if we look at the changes that have already been made to access to education for English speakers or newcomers or immigrants within Quebec through Bill 96, we see that rights are already being infringed upon through access to CEGEP in English for the French-speaking community, as well as the implications at the CEGEP level for English speakers attending CEGEP. Those are going to have a major influence on the educational success overall of the English-speaking community, starting at the college level to insist a certain level of proficiency in the French language is going to make it very difficult for certain English speakers to be successful in higher education. When you look at the overall picture, will the educational success of the English-speaking community be supported through the recent directions of our current provincial government? And looking at it the way it is, the answer would be no. Moving forward for the English community, our hope is for inclusion and vitality and opportunity. And we continue working with our local CAQ representatives and other MNAs and elected officials throughout the region to keep lines of communication open, to share what the needs of the community are and what initiatives are going on. We work hard collectively with both English and French-speaking organizations and institutions throughout the region and provincially to really do the best that we can on the ground to identify and address the needs. It becomes increasingly difficult to do so without the support of our provincial government. And so while we hope to remain positive and lively and maintain our presence, we definitely have some hurdles ahead of us as the legislation in 96 starts to roll out and we see the effects of this on the ground. If Bill 23 is adopted, at this point all we can do is consult with our community, keep them informed, do what we can to address some of the gaps in services and continue to act as a representative on their behalf whenever provided the opportunity to do so.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Maggie, for chatting. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Calship's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.